Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome out to the lab here inside the world-famous Hollywood Improv. Make some noise, guys. Oh, we are bigger than that, ladies and gentlemen. Make some noise. All right, ladies and gentlemen, you're going to love her, the creator and host of Story Smash. Let her hear it, Christine Blackburn.
Wow, welcome to Story Smash, the storytelling game show. My name is Christine Blackburn. And wow, did you guys pick an amazing night to come here tonight. Wait until you see the talent on this show. Give yourselves a round of applause for getting out here. Happy Thanksgiving. And we're going to start right away by revealing the Wheel of Stories. There are 12 permanent topics on the wheel, and there's one additional space that says free. If the contestant lands on free, then they can tell any topic on the wheel. There's also three additional spaces that say audience. And if the contestant lands on audience, which they always do, right, then you guys are going to shout out your story suggestions, and our expert judges will choose one of those suggestions to be their topic, yes? Are you thinking of story topics? You are? Okay, because we don't... If I ask that later, then everybody's... And I'm going to be really mad at you. So you know, right? Everybody's prepared. All right, speaking of expert judges, let's start right away. Our first judge coming to the stage is a comedian who has appeared on such shows as The Tonight Show, Conan, The Late Late Show, and has his own half-hour comedy special on Comedy Central. He's also the host of Never Not Funny, which Entertainment Weekly called one of the sharpest and gut-bustingest shows on the internet. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Judge Jimmy Pardo.
Woo! Hello.
Our next judge is an actress and a comedian, and she's best known for portraying Chloe O'Brien in the Fox action thriller series 24. She was also one of the original cast members on Mr. Show and has appeared in numerous films, including Punch Drunk Love, Little Miss Sunshine, and Road Trip. You guys, put your hands together for Mary Lynn Ricecup. Woo! And our final judge coming to the stage right now is an Emmy Award television writer and executive producer for ABC's Modern Family. His new book, I Hold in My Left Hand, he started it. It chronicles the Twitter war with our president, Donald Trump. And it's out right now. You guys, put your hands together for Danny Zucker! Woo! All right. Now, the good news is all three of these judges have played the game before. So you know what's happening.
Yeah, we do.
Now, Danny, you missed the last two shows.
I did.
Because you're like this bigwig now going around and touring with your book.
Good Morning, Denver. Whatever. Kind of a big deal.
Did you miss us?
I missed you a lot. It was very hard to... It was sort of like when you break up with somebody, but then you see them out having fun.
Right.
On Instagram. That was how previous shows were for me.
Yeah. Did you get any new stories out of this tour you've been on?
No, because I only talked about myself.
Interesting.
Yeah, so I didn't listen to anybody. It's so much fun.
Did you listen to yourself?
Yeah, I did.
Got anybody? What's happening?
We've missed you because you've been on the show before.
Where am I?
And you are such a great judge, so we're glad that you're back. Jimmy Pardo, you've done the show two times before at least.
Love it.
And we're going to do the same sort of thing, guys. We're going to play three rounds of the game tonight. The first round is a one-minute story, right? And then the second round, they'll come up. Everybody comes back
right.
And tells a true two-minute story.
Twice as long.
Exactly. twice as fun. Yeah. And then you guys have the hard job of choosing two storytellers that will go on to the third round and tell a true three-minute story.
Sometimes it's super easy, though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes
You know the stinkers right away.
Yeah, you
away.
Can write, tell right away.
I already know.
Yeah.
And here's the thing, you guys. When the contestant comes to the stage, then we need to let them know what to do. And so I'll say, tell them what to do, and you'll say...
Spin that wheel.
Yeah, but you're like this.
But probably so I'll say, more of you.
Tell them what to do, and you'll say...
Spin that wheel.
Okay. All right. And we got... we've got... Our sound guy back there, thank you so much for being with us, Alex. We're glad you're here. Thank you. That's Alex. And all right, so you guys had a good Thanksgiving?
I had a happy Thanksgiving.
That's good. Happy is the way to go, I think.
Yeah, it's right in the title.
Yeah.
I ate so much.
What did you have?
Oh, yeah.
That's what Van Halen album
is. I was trying to top your happy Thanksgiving by other things that you say about Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Oh, that got.
That turkey sure makes you tired.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Leftovers are the best, though.
My mother,
am I right?
Yeah, no, it's crazy.
Yeah.
It's better the next morning.
My mother-in-law, truly every Thanksgiving does talk about, like, she says, oh, man, the tryptophans, but only after her third bottle of wine.
It's like, yeah. That's when
that,
they really
is that the
kick
vineyard?
In.
Tryptophan yeah. vineyard?
That's when they kick in right yeah. then. Yeah. All right, you guys.
She's terrible.
We're going to start right away and bring up our very first storyteller. By the way, if you want to play the game, your name should be in that jar. Yeah? So we're going to be choosing an audience member to come up as well. And you guys have to know that's not easy.
No.
I mean, they're just coming up, and they're new to the stage, and it's just going to happen.
The tryptophans are going to hit them.
That's when it happens. Right.
The last time I did this, the audience member made it to the finals.
That's exactly right. Yeah. Christopher Corbell.
Yeah. Oh, I don't remember his name.
That was his
nor
name.
Nor do I care.
Because I saw him here in the audience.
He's here again?
He is here, and maybe his name is in there. I don't know.
He was great.
Okay. Well, let's hope he gets called.
I didn't know he was here.
All right, you guys, we're going to start this show right away and call the first contestant to the stage. And that person's... Why can't I get my name in here? All right, that person's name. Now, this is interesting. This guy actually won the last show of Story Smash.
A lot of pressure.
He also is a professor and a writer and a performer and a storyteller. And he's also the host of The Moth Los Angeles and all across the country in The Moth main stage shows. His solo show, Bad Kid, was a New York Times critic's pick, and the memoir was released in 2015 by Harper Perennial. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage, David Crabb. All right. Tell him what to do, guys.
Come on, David.
Holidays.
Oh, boy, we were just doing some good stuff on that. I hope we didn't take...
Yeah, let's do it. So a few years ago, my mother, I grew up in Texas, but she's what we call a goofy noofy. She's a little buxom redhead from Newfoundland, Canada. She looks like a tiny top-heavy leprechaun. And she moved back to Newfoundland, so my husband and I went to visit her after years of going to Texas. And there was a whiteout snow situation. It was so terrible. And we brought our little dog, a Jack Russell Chihuahua named Charlie Whitepaw. And one night we were running him in the snow back and forth to do his business. And my husband was like, oh, let's walk in the house. We had his poop in a bag, and it was all dressed up for Christmas. It was like all the houses were snowed in. So we walked in the house, took snow boots off, got all great, and we realized we were in the wrong fucking house. They were all just white, like igloos. We hustled, ran out of the house, got all the way back. We were like, I can't believe we made it okay. We left the shit there. We totally left. Someone in St. John's, Newfoundland was like, oh, honey, oh, God. My mom moved back to Texas 2 months later. That's that. Thank you.
David Crabb.
Wow.
All right, stay right here, friend. Stay right here, David. All right, come on stage, right on here. Okay, Mary Lynn, you look serious.
I'm thinking about that poop.
She told me she was a tough judge beforehand, so I'm ready.
You can go down.
I'm intimidated by you, first off, and all of your accomplishments. And the way you gave a look before the story of panic and lost, and then once you found it, you went right in for the goddamn kill.
Yeah.
That was amazing, culminating in poop. Who doesn't like that?
It's a great holiday story.
Wait, what was the ending? She went back to Texas?
Yeah, they were like, fuck this place. And she moved all the way back to Texas to the subdivision that she had been in my whole youth and just undid her... She, like, control-Z'd her choice to move back home and just went back. Yeah.
So no one knows if they found the poop or what their reaction was.
No, but all their neighbors were nice. It's Newfoundland. It's Canada. They're all pretty chill.
Were they?
I think so.
Maybe they deserve the poop. that was great and succinct and right on time and exciting.
Yeah, Jimmy Pardo.
I don't like any of that. I don't like the snow. I certainly don't like the poop. It was great. Tight. Loved everything about it. Love it. I love the shirt too. That completely has nothing to do with this.
Danny Zucker.
I mean, it took me 15 seconds to realize that you're not Lin-Manuel. So that was a little. Do you get that a lot? I was hoping you were going to rap this. Do you not? Have you never heard this?
Jefferson goes to the White House.
I do that to hurt
my husband's heart.
Yeah, no. No, seriously. I was ready to get some history lessons and like. No, it was great. This is a true story. Visited my friend Todd Christie, Chris Christie's brother. I went to high school with the Christies. He went to University of Delaware. Got as drunk as I've ever been. We had no bathing. We went to the pool. We're naked, swimming in the pool. I left all my clothes. You know, I had a fresh change of clothes in his apartment. It was one of those apartment buildings you could enter either from this side or this side. And if you entered from this side, you go up, and it's the first door on your right. I walked into an apartment completely naked, got to the fridge, turned around, horrified family looking at me, completely naked. This is really true. So I really relate to this story. And
yeah. I will take mine over yours any day.
You have not seen me naked, young man.
Were you holding shit?
No, I would just come out of a cold pool. Anyway, good job.
David Crabb, let him hear it, you guys. David Crabb. Wow, man. Funny, funny stuff. All right, come. I don't know why I can't get these names out. Coming to the stage right now, you guys. Oh, look at that. It's our audience member. Our audience member is coming to the stage, Jim Coughlin. Go ahead and give Danny Zucker the jar. Danny Zucker is going to call the contestant out. And the name of the person coming to the stage is?
Rich Dickerson.
Rich Dickerson. Rich.
Richie.
Richard, come on to the stage. Rich, come on to the stage. All right. This is great. Are you guys, be very kind. This is not easy. This is not easy at all. Tell him what to do.
Yeah. I can tell it.
Oh, man, that was a hard spin. He didn't get the note. He didn't get the note to spin it lightly. I mean, he outplayed the music.
Yeah, we had to loop again.
Oh, this is awesome. Rich
audience action.
Oh, man. That's my favorite porn search category. Audience
right?
on audience.
You go audience on audience?
Yeah.
All right, you guys. You got to show
happened
me
to
some
Rich?
Love. Rich, get back here. You guys.
You don't just spin, Rich. You tell a story.
Have you been in a gangbang before?
All right, you guys, throw out some story topics. What do you want to hear?
They're all going to get on you.
Divorce, puberty, piercings.
Masturbation,
computers.
What do you think? I don't know if he's been divorced, but everybody's been through puberty, right?
Yeah.
No?
You're so generous.
I know.
My balls are up still around my chest.
What do you say? I'm going to leave it up to Jimmy.
Okay. Rich, what are you comfortable talking about?
Whoa.
Since you didn't know that you were going to tell a story until seconds ago.
Nothing.
Okay. Puberty it is.
Come on. You wanted this, Rich. You wanted.
Give it up for Rich Dickerson.
Yeah.
I'm the most boring guy on earth.
No doubt.
No. Yeah.
Did they force you to put your name in here, Rich?
By the way, just before you start, and I don't want to put any false expectations on, I think this is going to be the best audience story we've ever heard.
And that's saying a lot because Corbello's
really
in-house. We got Corbello sitting out there.
So, Rich,
yeah.
Dazzle us.
Oh, shit.
All right, piercings.
Divorce.
I was in a band. I don't have any stories of
Tell a story about being in a fucking band.
Yeah. Well. Yeah.
When I was 12, I wanted to be in a band. Then
I grew up
it.
In Long Island. I started a band, and then
it's happening. Right the time start?
Right into the microphone. Right into the microphone.
I really don't have any stories.
But you've heard.
Where's the guy that won last week?
But you've heard about stories in the past, right?
Well, you.
You know
first time you had
is,
sex.
Rich.
Go.
It was about last week.
Tell me how you lost your virginity. Let's go. Do it.
Christopher Crowe and a Chevy Impala.
Yeah, oh, my God.
It was exciting. Yeah.
You are walking
I know,
Lunesta.
I know.
he's just an audience member, Danny.
I know, but at a certain point.
I got to step up.
I don't disagree.
No, you see what happens when we don't spank our children. They turn into monsters. We got to let this guy go. Okay.
Certainly.
So Impala, edge of seat. Go.
No abortions. No nothing. I've gotten away
Wait,
with.
What?
I've been very.
How was that puberty?
You went too far. You went too far.
No.
There, Impala. Wait, FCC. Rich Dickerson. Rich Dickerson. Let him hear it. Come on. That's not easy at all, man.
Danny Zuko, you caused all this. You called his name.
Look, I think. It's great that the show is doing outreach, and you are very, very brave, and honestly, a real hero, I think, to people with whatever condition afflicts you. I don't envy you. I don't know why you put your name in the jar.
Why did you come up here? Okay. Why?
But he did it.
He did it.
I can't wait to hear.
Maybe when we get to the 2-minute story. It's
yeah, that's up. It. Rich Dickerson. Let him hear it, ladies and gentlemen. Rich Dickerson. All right, you guys.
Wait, that guy come back?
Yeah. He comes back.
I want him back every week.
I know.
I do. I think this is good, therapeutic, we just keep going.
I want to Sanjaya the fuck out of that
then
guy.
Then what happened?
He's our Sanjaya. We're going to just make him.
You're going to make him win? Yeah.
Yeah, fuck
it. All right, you guys. Our next contestant coming to the stage is an Emmy-nominated writer and the host of the L.A. Moth Story Slams. He's performed his solo shows in a variety of venues, from the HBO U.S. Comedy Arts Festival in Aspen to the Summer Nights Festival in Australia. You guys, please welcome to the show a past winner, Brian Finkelstein. Woo! Brian Finkelstein! Tell him what to do!
Well,
Mom.
Imagine if Rich got this.
Everything would be different.
We want Rich.
My mom is Irish. My dad is Jewish. They're divorced because of those two things. I always identified with my dad, the Jew. Misanthropic is like the religion of Jews, so I'm with that. But the Irish, I'm not. And so I never really got on board with the Irish, but then I worked with this person who said she lived in Ireland and she wanted us all to come, everyone who worked at the store at Kiehl's in New York. She's like, come with us to Ireland and meet my family. And we went, and it turns out her dad was in the band The Chieftains, the lead singer of The Chieftains. And I didn't know that, and we hung out for a while and we had some beers, and I really bonded with him because nobody else from work came. It was just me and this girl, Aideen, who I didn't know. And she's a recovering alcoholic, and I was in Ireland, so that was not a fun trip for her. For me, it was. And then at the end, I got to take my mom to Carnegie Hall on St. Patrick's Day to see The Chieftains, which was like her big dream. And so since then, I sort of now connect with the Irish side of my mom.
All right.
The end.
Brian Finkelstein. That was a great story. Stay right here. That was a great story. Jimmy?
Really, he's no Rich.
I'm sorry.
I mean,
I have had abortions. So,
I mean, Brian, yes, Rich. Certainly you could see the way Rich controls a room and you could take from that.
I'm working.
You're a professional, but yet the way that the audience member upstage you upsets me.
You can't fake charisma.
You're right. You can't, Brian. You can't.
It's the it factor. Danny.
Yeah, I mean, I was like, I don't know, a story with a beginning, middle, and end that was funny and then touched me at the end and was sweet. I mean, what the fuck is that? I mean, Rich just talked about an Impala and then said he didn't have an abortion. I mean, I know. That was...
They make the best stories.
I know, but seriously, that was genuinely sweet. Like, at the end, and I don't mean that, in a bad way. I mean, I felt something. It might be cold medicine, though, but yeah, I felt something.
But uncharacteristic, really, for Brian Finkelstein.
No, because I never have seen a human emotion in you in all the times we've ever talked.
I've been watching Dexter, so I'm learning how to express my emotions.
Mary Lynn.
It didn't have the mystery of Rich. No one's gonna have that. The majesty, the words that you were using. You name dropped The Chieftains, which impressed everybody.
Everybody looked up.
Everybody. Your mom's dream came true in the end. Now I'm wondering, what are you hiding?
I did have an abortion.
Okay. All right. Let's talk about that next time.
Brian Finkelstein. Let him hear it. All right, you guys. Finally, some female contestants are coming up right now. And this contestant is a content creator, a comedian, and most importantly, a member of Ralph's Club. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sharon Houston.
Woo!
Woo! Sharon Houston. All right. Tell her what to do.
Hit the wheel.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Short and sweet, she landed on pets.
Okay, that's dumb.
Lower that mic.
Thanks, Jimmy. He's tiny, too.
Shut up!
Hey!
Guess who's not moving on?
I am tiny.
I am tiny.
All right. I love animals. I love cats. I love dogs. One of the closest relationships I ever had in my life was with a chihuahua that I found on La Brea, between 2nd and 3rd, right over near the Ralphs, where I am a member of the club there. And this little dog is hauling ass down the street. Me and my girlfriends are having dinner al fresco, and we're like, look at that little dog. And I told my girlfriend, I really want a little dog. This dog runs into the parking structure at American Rag Company. These two guys come out. They're holding this little animal, and he's terrified, and he's shit himself. And I look at him, and I'm like, what happened? Is that your dog? And the guy was like this Hungarian taxi cab driver, and he was like, that's not my dog. That's somebody else's dog. I chased the dog. I don't know who has the dog. And then I looked at him and I said, oh my God, he's gorgeous. And the dog looked at me and he jumped into my arms. And I was like, oh my God, I have a dog. So I named him Chipotle. He was a little chihuahua. And I had him for 8 years because he was an adult when I found him. And he, God damn it. I didn't even get to the sweet part, you guys. Thanks.
No, that was very good. Sharon Houston. That was a full story. That was a great story. Really. That was great, Danny.
No, I thought that was a great story. And we can just fill in the end, you backed over the dog, right? That was, right?
That's not what happened. No, it's not what happened.
I want this to, I feel like your story should be like the end of The Sopranos, you know, it just goes to black.
Yes,
and then
I
we
agree.
Don't know what
happened. It's a small town girl.
But I don't want to hear Journey. I'd rather hear Cheap Trick.
How dare you?
Oh, yeah. Didn't I?
Yeah, why not?
You want my love, you got it. And he leaps into your chest.
Yeah.
Okay, Jimmy.
We started off on the wrong foot, Sharon and I.
Yeah.
And by that, I mean 22 years ago when I met her.
Yeah.
And I've held a grudge ever since. Sharon, you were, I got to recuse myself. You were at my wedding. I don't think it's fair for me to judge.
Oh, interesting. A little nepotism going on.
What?
Well, no, that
wouldn't related.
No, she's not my family.
No.
Or is she?
Oh, you know what? I'm going to another wedding at the E-Bell.
What?
I'm going to another wedding.
Okay, you guys.
Sorry.
No, we've descended. I mean, honestly, bring back Rich because this is putting him to sleep.
I didn't like the use of al fresco, to be honest with you.
All right. I thought al fresco was a great word choice. It brought in a little European flair.
I liked
right to LA.
It seemed snooty. Didn't like it.
Mary Lynn, do you have any pets?
Of course.
All right.
I liked how defensive you were at first. She's like, ugh, pets. I love animals. Like the conflict. I'm like, where is she coming from? Where is she going? And then again, a very sweet story.
Very sweet.
And, you know, like using the taxi driver as the antagonist just by putting on his accent, which, you know, could have been racist of you, but was enjoyable. Yeah. I mean, yeah. I don't know. I'm not putting that on it, but I
was against him.
A table full of, Hungarian,
him, a table full of Hungarians left.
You guys, I'm sorry.
Sharon Houston, let her hear it, you guys. Sharon
Thanks
Houston.
Thanks, you guys.
All right. And our final contestant coming up to tell a true one-minute story is an amazingly talented girl. She's a voiceover actress and an impressionist. You've heard her on The Howard Stern Show, Rocky and Bullwinkle, and Star Wars. Please put your hands together for the very talented Rachel Butera. Woo! Here she comes, guys. Tell her what to do.
That wheel.
All right. All right. I love this portion of the game. It landed on audience, and so we are going to get some suggestions from you guys, and then the judges will choose a story. What do you guys say over here? What do you want to hear about? Not good enough.
Are you being held against your will?
They're so secretive over there.
What do you guys want to hear about? Crime. What else?
Tumors.
Whoa. Always, whoa. Always funny. Sports. First date. Customer service. Customer service is interesting.
Infidelity.
Yeah. Infidelity. What do you say? Oh wow, Mary Lynn, you're so kind.
Okay, she's going with infidelity.
Infidelity. Excellent.
She wants that.
Yeah, she wants it.
We don't want to hear about her barista at Starbucks.
Okay, not proud of this story, but when I was 19, I worked at a flower shop in Newark, New Jersey, full of all men, and there was this one Portuguese guy named Rogério, and he was very sexy and Portuguese, and he spoke it and everything, and he came from his night shift job working at the nail polish chemical factory to his day job of delivering flowers, and there I was making palms into crosses at Easter time, and he walked in, and we got along, and we were very attracted to each other, and he was married with two kids. He was 28, I was 19. He seemed 1,000 years old to me at that time. And we started, like, going out in his truck on deliveries together. Wow. And we would wind up, like, kissing over by the train tracks and stuff. We never actually had sex because when it came to that final moment of we were going to do it, we went to the White Deer Hotel. We got in bed naked. And he couldn't go through with it because he felt guilty about his wife. And I was fine with that because I didn't really want to. And I had a boyfriend, by the way, the whole entire time. Soon after that, I started feeling guilty, too, and I called him up to break up with him, and he was crying and begging me not to. Perfect ending.
Wow. Rachel Butera. There's a lot of infidelity going on there. She was being naughty. He was being naughty.
But then they both didn't do anything. Again, a sweet story. What?
I blew him. I gave him a blowjob.
Okay.
You suck him off?
Well, I think...
That, Rachel, is called burying the lead.
Yes.
Yeah, I think that counts.
That's what I call blowjobs.
You're saying kissing is not cheating, then.
No, kissing's cheating.
Okay, kissing. All right, so we kissed. We fooled around. We just didn't do the deed all the way.
All you did deeds.
This went on for a year,
one.
By the way.
Will you marry me?
When I was 19, I had sex with a 28-year-old woman, so I can relate to this story.
See? Whoa.
But I went through with it because I'm not a quitter.
Jimmy.
In my Fiero.
Oh,
that's a two-seater.
It's a small car.
Small car. Tight sex.
Anyway, I love that, Rachel.
Mary Lynn?
I mean, it was no Impala that has a back seat.
No, it was Rogério.
When I was 28, I dated a 19-year-old and married him.
Really?
Took him away from his wife. No, I'm making that up. But my husband is 9 years younger than me.
Oh, funny.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right.
And I have been to flower shops before. So, yeah.
You can relate.
No, I liked how it was a crazy roller coaster. I thought it was going to get real salacious, and it kind of did, but then ended up sweet in the end.
Kind of. Well,
but and that's why she left out the BJ.
Yeah.
Because she's a professional.
Yeah.
She's a lady.
I'm a lady.
A classy lady.
I don't
lady.
Blow and tell.
Rachel Butera, you guys. Let her
good
hear.
Job, Rachel.
Rachel
Butera. Right, right.
That was a great round, wasn't it?
Oh, my God.
Very strong, everybody.
Seriously, every single person who came on stage told an amazing story.
Amazing.
Every single contestant.
Well, Danny, when the audience member's this great, I mean, they know the bar is raised.
All right, you guys. Right now, coming to the stage for a true two-minute story, double the time, double the fun, is the very talented Sharon Houston. Yay! Sharon.
Woo!
Tell her what to do, you guys.
Spin that wheel.
There she goes. You're back. Breakup.
Almost 10 years ago, I went through a really, really horrible breakup. I was with someone who, for 3.5 years, I thought he was the one. We never fought. We never argued. Everything was wonderful. And then things started getting a little bit weird towards the end. And I was like, I feel like something's not right. I feel like we're not connecting. And he's like, no, everything's fine. I love you. You're the only girl for me. Please stop freaking out. So I was like, okay, fine. Then like 3 days later, he was out running an errand. I was home. We were going to go to his niece's birthday later that afternoon. And this weird thought just came into my head and said, check your computer. No. Exactly. And I'm not a snooper. I don't have time for that shit. Like, if I just suspect something, I usually go, just break up with him, right? But we had been building a life together. So I checked on a shared computer that we had. And there it was. I was one of the first people to experience the Ashley Madison effect.
Ah.
Yeah, so here's how I handled it. I saw that, and I saw pictures of all the women he was going after. They were all blonde, and they were the color of a Dorito. I'm not his type, clearly. Fake tan, that stuff. And I called him up, and I was like, hi, do you want to tell me where you've been the last few nights? And he goes, what are you talking about? And I said, well, if you don't know, why don't we ask Ashley Madison? And his voice dropped like 4 octaves, and he said, how did you find out? And I said, it doesn't matter. We're done. And we ended the relationship. We lived together. He never came home again. I never saw him again until 5 years later. I'm going to sound like a cunt when I tell this part of the story. I'm at the corner of Hollywood and Highland, and they have the crisscross applesauce crosswalk. I'm tired. It's sunny outside. And this guy's walking across the street. And I go, look at that fat fuck. Oh, he looks like he's pregnant. What the fuck is wrong with...
Oh, wow. Oh, Sharon!
Holy shit!
What a great ending! I hate him. I hate him. Wow. Yeah, man, that was amazing, Jimmy.
Yeah. Question: do I know this guy?
No.
Oh, I was hoping it was the guy I knew.
Who'd you think?
I'm not comfortable saying who I thought it was. That was great. I didn't like the language in the middle of it, but other than that,
yeah, that seemed to upset
great.
You.
I didn't. I don't. Listen, we're all God's creatures.
Yeah. I don't know what that means. Mary Lynn?
My favorite was the cunt and crisscross applesauce.
Yeah.
Been next to each other.
Yeah.
The whole thing was brilliant, and then a little those details like that.
Yeah. I love those crosswalk walks.
Yes.
The cunt crosswalks?
Yeah. Like they have.
Oh, yeah.
Danny.
Okay, so baffling. This is just a little thing on the side. But so you're going to an Ashley Madison site, yeah. Who's, I'm told, the assumption is for a discreet affair with married people. Why would you sign up on a shared computer? It seems like not the perfect crime.
Yeah, and why would you do it when you're not married? Just break up with me.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
know what I mean?
No, there's a lot of... Yeah, I think.
Well, and the fact you said you weren't his type, that shows there's a sociopathic, like, he wasn't just like, yeah. It was like a pathological way to do it.
But like, how fat?
They weren't fat. They were.
No,
they were,
him.
Oh, him? Oh. He
like, looked like circus?
In the crisscross applesauce.
Like Alfred Hitchcock walking into.
Oh, into the silhouette?
Yes.
Oh.
I just saw this gut, and I was like, oh. God.
I'm going to allow body shaming right now for this.
Well, I mean...
Yeah, no, I'm into it. I'm into it.
How
yeah.
good did you well, we feel after that?
I felt so fucking good. I was like, I won! And I texted 2 friends. I was like, I just fucking saw him. He's fat as shit. I win. And then I got drunk at the Hard Rock.
Hey.
There you go. Sharon Houston,
you
let her
win.
Hear.
Winner, winner.
Sharon Houston. All right, you guys, come to the stage right now for a true 2-minute story is Brian Finkelstein. Brian! Tell him what to do.
Spin that wheel.
Great spin. All right.
Wow.
Hooking up. Hooking up.
It's going to get off the hook now.
All right. This one's going to be weird. So a couple years ago, not a long time ago, I was in my late 30s. And I took this job. I had a job, but I took this side job that was like writing for a reality show that I had never watched, American Idol. I never watched it. And it was basically, I just had to write for an award show for a guest host. It doesn't matter. The point is, I had to ask questions to the contestants, funny questions. So I had to sit there and like on the red carpet hand these questions. And I had never seen the show or knew anything about the show or pop culture. And so I started emailing like people like to get advice. And I ended up like... going through like a friend's, and then like I got my cousin, his daughter in Boston, and I eventually found this through friend of a friend, this girl Hannah, who was in Maine, and she was 14 years old. And I started this chat with her to ask her questions. And she was, okay, relax. She was super helpful, and she was really funny, and she had great jokes, better than my jokes. And she would give me stuff, and then I would send her jokes and then she would correct my grammar and spelling, and punch up the joke better than I have ever written a joke, and send it back to me. And then the job was what it was, and a bunch of bullshit, right? And then and it went well. And then afterwards, she kept emailing me and calling me, and it got a little weird. So I just kind of blocked her, and was like, that's inappropriate. And then I got home one day at my apartment, and there were flowers there from her. I don't know how she found me or how she had a credit card. And I called her, dad in Maine, and told this dude hey, your fucking 14-year-old daughter's calling me, and it's fucking weird. And he's like, oh, girls, it'd be girl. And I was like, you're gonna be on the news someday. And then. And then she stopped calling me, and then I turned 40 a year later, and I got this call from her on my 40th birthday. It was this great day. It was the day Barack won the it was a great birthday. And she called me, and she said, hey, I just want you to know, I started dating somebody. And she broke up with me on my birthday.
Brian Finkelstein, look at the time. How perfect is that time? Wow. Right on 2 minutes. Amazing story. Jimmy.
I was worried at first.
Yeah.
I think we all were. I like the way it turned, Brian. I was a big fan of that story and a fan of yours. Happy birthday.
Danny.
So no dick pics.
I didn't say that.
Okay, no, okay, good. Because I think we were all worried only because it was the category was hooking up. And then, it went in depth into
She sent him dick pics?
I think she sent him dick pics.
Oh, weird.
Yeah.
Okay.
Other people random dicks.
No, good for you. It's great to have fans. And, no, because I think of you. Well, no, I guess, I don't know. This is how I think of you. This is the spectrum of music, the contestants. I've always thought of you as a boy band. And the idea that a 14-year-old girl would obsess about you, yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Mary Lynn?
Sometimes it's okay for me not to say anything, I think.
Yeah, okay. Mary Lynn?
You need to start sending him flowers.
I'm going to send him dick pics.
All are welcome.
And the dad just didn't know that you were talking to her?
No, he did. I told
he didn't
dad,
care.
I told the dad that he should be careful because she was reaching out to me, and I tried to warn him. Because I don't know.
All your back and forth with her was online?
Online. And so I told him that, and I was like, just in case she's reaching out to other people, just whatever. It was harmless, and it was a friend that said, that introduced me to her. And he was just like, oh, well, kids and computers. And I was like, dude, nope. I don't think that's a good. And so then I just stopped answering him.
Well, it sounds like you were the father she never had, so good work.
But Brian Finkelstein, let him hear it. Brian Finkelstein. All right, you guys, coming to the stage right now is the very talented Rachel Butera. Rachel! All right, you guys, tell her what to do.
Customer service!
Yeah. Rachel Butera has landed on audience, and that's, this is the luck of the spin. She prepared every topic, and now you guys tell her what story you would like to hear.
Hospital.
Driver's license. Hair, bras, weddings, family, strip clubs, spaghetti.
Spaghetti!
Spaghetti! I'm wrong. I gotta hear spaghetti.
Oh, really? Okay, no, come on. That's not even a story.
It's a great story.
Ray, since you've gotten this twice, Rachel.
Yeah.
Do you have a preference of those topics?
They were all shit. Ambulance.
Hospital.
Strip club.
Strip club.
Operation.
Howard Stern.
Operation. Says the Irish woman in the back.
I can do operation, but it's so boring.
Valentine's Day.
Family. Oh, come on. This is not up for... What is this? What is the topic?
I feel bad. What are you...
What is the topic, Mary
Look,
Lynn?
Mary Lynn is really insistent on picking this, so I'm just going to let her do it.
You know what? High school?
High school. High school. There we go. High school. Here she goes.
Not bad.
A true 2-minute story. Here she goes. High school.
Yes, it is.
Right there.
No, no, we did that.
All right. High school, I know. So my senior year in high school was 1990, Bloomfield, New Jersey.
Woo!
And one day I'm sitting in my homeroom 201 like I always am, and Miss Pfeiffer with this weird voice comes over the speaker like she always does to make her announcements. And on this particular day, she announces, "The Bloomfield High School senior class has won the school spirit contest." And I'm like, what the fuck is the school spirit contest? So it turns out that someone entered my high school into the Z100 school spirit contest to win an exclusive concert to see Motley Crue at the Ritz in New York City.
Wow.
Completely unsupervised by parents. So this is 1990. This is pre-computer, pre-internet, and pre-everything. So like my whole school is freaking out. Holy shit, we're going to get to go see Motley Crue. Just by ourselves. So we immediately start planning, like, how we're going to get there and how we're going to get there completely shit-faced from New Jersey. So I don't know how, but my 17-year-old self somehow rented us a party bus, like, without the internet. and everybody, like, pitched in their babysitting money and their money and everything. And then we were like, how are we going to get the liquor? Well, my father worked at a deli, and he just provided all the liquor to a bunch of... to a bunch of underage teenagers. He was like, sure. So the day came, and the beer ball was ready, and the bus pulled up, and we all loaded in, and we went to New York City, and we get there, and Motley Crue's doing their Dr. Feelgood tour. So, like, yeah, we're the only ones in the Ritz. I mean, it's a small club, and it's like 400 of us in the Ritz. And, you know, Vince Neil comes out, and they're flanked by those two hot blondes in the videos, and they start ripping into their songs, and we're, like, drunk and partying. It was going crazy. It was the most amazing thing. But the best thing is I didn't take my boyfriend because he was a year older, so he had already graduated, and I didn't like him at that point anyway. So somehow other people snuck.
I got to hear the end of the story.
I swear to God, we have to know.
Just go.
Tell us.
Well, there were other people there somehow, not from my high school, a few, and I wound up like hooking up with this guy and cheating on my boyfriend again, like with some guy at the Motley Crue concert.
Seeing a pattern. Rachel Butera, let her hear it.
Yay. Wow.
Stay here, Mary Lynn.
I'm seeing a parallel with the dad in the story with Hannah, but you were better than Hannah because you accomplished it without the internet.
And they had a beer ball.
We had a beer ball.
Maybe Vince Neil is your father figure. Great story. I like your can-do spirit. That you get stuff done. I still don't understand what the school spirit thing is and why you guys want it to go get drunk. Like, it seems like everybody lost the plot except for you guys at that point, and you seized the day. Good work.
Yeah, Danny.
I can't top that, but I will just say that I grew up in Livingston.
Yeah.
So we were like two towns over from each other.
I worked at Don's for years.
Don's? Guys, just excuse
us. The big one,
it
Don's.
It was Don's.
Jewish food.
No, it was an amazing deli
coleslaw,
diner.
Everything homemade, even the Chinese
coleslaw?
Food.
Yeah. My neighbor, their family got up on the Don's wall.
Broadway
the
shakes.
Oh, forget about it.
Do you guys want to leave? Or?
Hey.
Jimmy Pardo.
You know, I saw Motley Crue on that very tour. That was no prize.
Not a fan?
I love the story, though. Loved it.
Yeah, great story. Rachel Butera, let her hear it.
Great job.
All right, you guys. Let's keep this show moving right along. Coming to the stage right now for a true 2-minute story is our audience member, Rich Dickerson. Let him hear it. Come on, Rich. Come on, Rich. Woo! Tell them what to do. Spin that wheel. That's the one. Go for it. Okay, nice spin. No, no, no. Come on, Rich.
I'm the worst storyteller up here, so I get to do that.
Spin the wheel, Rich.
Okay, so I started my band in...
and we're back to the band.
Spin the wheel, Rich.
It's all I got, okay? I have a very limited life.
Spin the wheel, and whatever you land on, you can figure out your story around it.
You can make this story you're about to tell.
Yeah, make it about your band and the abortion you didn't have.
Band, let's hear about your band, Rich. Band.
Okay, I think we've talked spaghetti.
Okay, so what's the story going to be?
Spaghetti band.
So I'm at my mom's house having some spaghetti.
Hey!
Wait a minute, is it band?
And we had band rehearsal, so.
Okay. Woo!
I lived on Long Island, Port Jefferson, New York, and my bass player came from Queens, New York, and he would take the train out three nights a week to rehearse. So we do rehearsal, and then me and the guitar player would drive him two blocks away to the train station. And one night we're there, and we're waiting for the train, and the train starts to leave. And he panics, and he says, "Watch my bass." And he goes running out, and he's not in good shape. And he leaps for the train. He bounces off. He falls down. Train goes runs by, and me and the guitar player look at each other. And then all of a sudden, he crawls up, and he gets back on the platform, and he's missing his foot. Yeah, sure. But he's in such shock, he doesn't know. So we're coming, we go to the bar next door, we get the ice, throw the ice on his foot, you know, the helicopters come, they're going to put him out, the whole thing. And then we go visit him, and he's like, I want to stay in the band, I don't want to leave, you know. So then he buys they didn't have prosthetics back then, so he buys a big work boot, and he puts a sock in there, and his... But on stage, his foot would turn and he'd play, and he wouldn't know it. And people would say, and I would have to go like, "Carl, fix your fucking foot, man." And that's my story.
Rich Dickerson.
Holy shit.
See that? That was a great story. Now, keep in mind, he only went to a minute 28. I mean, I'm just saying.
We got it.
It wasn't 2 minutes, but, you know.
Couple thoughts. You probably don't get invited to a lot of parties.
No.
But I like this story. It sort of had, like, a Def Leppard element to it, I thought.
Ah.
You know?
Nice.
Yeah. It just had a little bit of that going on. But you had a story. That story had a beginning, middle, and end.
Yeah, that was a good story.
My friend
really
helped
was.
Me.
Okay, but like, you know, you came up here. Were you intentionally? You're never making it to the finals.
No.
Ever. Just we haven't even talked, and we know that. But I think you should take this as like I want to give you a participation trophy.
Yeah.
I really do.
Yeah, why don't we give
what?
Him one of these?
Give him my book.
Here you go.
There,
you
that's
got yourself
my book.
A book right there, Rich Dickerson. Yeah.
By the way, that bass player, he's a lawyer in Washington, D.C., and he trolls Trump also.
Oh, he does. That's fantastic. Oh, good. I want to know his name.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome. Congratulations.
Jimmy Pardo, what'd you think of the story?
I loved it, Rich. I thought it was great. You're too hard on yourself. What was the name of the band?
Nobody Hurt. Crosswinds.
Oh, it's a Crosswinds?
Yeah, sure, sure.
What do you mean nobody heard of them?
Stop.
Love it. You guys were great. You had the cassette?
Oh, yeah.
Crosswinds out of the East Coast. Remember Crosswinds?
Oh, yeah, Starboard.
Marilyn Rice Cub.
I don't think you're hard enough on yourself. Because... Here's what I'm saying. You had that great story in you. That was a crazy story, but it took a light public hazing to get you to tell it. I also was in a band called this... never mind. I was trying to think of a sailing term, but nothing would come
The Jib.
Thanks, buddy. All right, you guys, Rich Dickerson, let him hear a big round of applause. It takes a lot of guts to come up on stage. Great job, Rich Dickerson. And coming up right now to tell a true two-minute story is David Crabb. Let him hear it, guys. All right, tell him what to do.
Wheel.
I have to follow Rich.
Pets.
All right.
So many, many years ago, I was out of work, and I was like a high-functioning alcoholic, and it was weeks of this when my boyfriend came up from the basement of our house, and he was like, I found something terrifying in the basement. And I was so fucking excited something was happening in my life. I was like, oh, let's go see it! So we went down to the basement, and we found this, like, black kitten that had a half-working face. It had, like, the milk eye. You know, like, the blind oracle in a horror film that sees nothing but sees everything? It looked like that. We brought it upstairs. My roommate, who worked for the Criterion Collection, looked at it and said, that looks like a puppet from Eraserhead. And it did. It was a nightmare. We took it to the vet. She said it had lateral paralysis, this little female kitten, half of its body was never going to work. But she was like, if you want to take it home and try to nurse it back to health, you can. And I was like, I have a job. I got a job. And we took the fucking kitten home, and then I turned our house into what my boyfriend called the cat spa, because there was, like, pumping, and there was 12 baths a day with Pantene 2-in-1, and then there was, like, a diffuser and a blow dryer. My boyfriend bought all of it. He paid the rent. He paid for the vet. He bought the diffuser for the blow dryer. I would microwave those little bean bags for sore muscles, and I would arrange them, and then I would put the kitten with its, like, eraser head jigsaw face, and then I would blow dry, and it would just be like, I'm gonna live! And then, after like being a crazy cat lady in my house for weeks, we had an Oscar party. So my friends who had not seen me forever came over. And one by one, they came into the room. And I lifted the sheet on the crate. And I was like, I can't wait for you. And they were like, oh, what? Oh, God. Oh, my God. Wow. Wow. She looks just like you. I was like the mother lifting the stroller hood to be like, ugh. And we took the cat to the vet finally, like, a few weeks later, and she's like, you guys really have to, like, set yourself free. It's not going to work. And I was like, can we have one more chance? And we took the kitten home. I hadn't worked for 2 months, and then I had to go to Texas for this family emergency. And 4 days later, my boyfriend called me, and he's like, the cat's walking. And I was like, what the fuck? And I came home, and it was drunk. It was fucked up. But it turns out he didn't boil heavy cream and test it on his wrist. He just put the food, like, a foot in front of the cat every day. And eventually she fucking walked. So... tough love, you know?
Yeah. David Crabb. That was a great story.
Wow.
That was a beautiful story. Had a beginning, a middle, an end.
Yeah.
I love cats.
Do you really? I like that you said you were an alcoholic at the beginning, and then you tied it into alcohol at the end. That was nice. Someone was drunk at the end.
Oh, yeah.
That was a brilliant story, and I think what we're learning is tough love works. If you're hard on yourself... if you're hard on others,
Rich,
they rise to the
fuck kid gloves. Yeah,
I am a cat lover myself, and that was really hard to say out loud in public. Yeah. No, I do. I love cats. That was an incredibly sweet story. I'm gonna just no joke. Specifics make stories. Mm-hmm. It's those little details. You had that peppered throughout. That was like a I can see why you're killing it on the moth, because that was brilliant.
That was very nice of you. Jimmy?
Sounds like Danny heard a different story than me. I couldn't follow any of it. It was so fucking vague. He's going to Texas. He's got a kitty cat. That's all I heard.
If I would have been at your wedding, you would have felt different.
You're damn right. Oh, what is this? Are you Jack Kay? Why is that happening? I loved it. It was great.
Yeah. All right, David Crabb. Let him hear it. David Crabb.
It was great.
Was that everybody? No. One more storyteller, right? Yeah, because I'm missing a... but it, no. That was all the two-minute stories?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. You guys have the whole job right now, an excruciating job of picking two people to move on to the third round. Put 1 minute on the clock, if you will, Jim Coughlin. And, you know, the winner of the Story Smash tonight is going to win a copy of Danny's book. He started it. And Danny said he'll sign it, which is lovely. And they're also going to win my homemade chocolate chip cookies. And I may or may not share the recipe. A big round of applause for Alex in the back. Thanks for helping out tonight, Alex. Jim Coughlin right here in the front. Jim Coughlin, he helps me every goddamn month. Amazing. Thank you, Jim Coughlin. Julie at the bar, don't forget to tip her. And we'll be back here on Saturday, December 22nd. So, you know, make your holidays bright and merry and all that. And come back and see us December 22nd. We're done here. All right, you guys. Now, we've got to have two names that are going into this jar, and these two contestants will come up and tell a true three-minute story.
Just got to say, like, there were four amazing choices
Yeah.
that we had. Four Exactly four. And it was really hard just narrowing them down.
Yeah. Mary Lynn, did you think it was a hard decision to get to the two?
Yeah, everybody was great.
Yeah, they really were. Well,
four of them were fantastic.
Jimmy, how did you guys make the decision?
Well, listen, I want everybody to understand I'm doing this under protest. I think Rich should be in the finals.
Yeah.
And I'm sickened that he's not.
Yeah.
Sickened.
Well, let's hang out afterward and we can get pictures and stuff here on the stage.
I don't need a memory.
With the Rich. All right, you guys, coming to the stage right now for our final round. It's going to be a true 3-minute story. Is Sharon Houston. Sharon!
Woo!
All right. Tell her what to do.
That wheel.
I love this game so much. I'm so happy I created it. She has landed on audience, so you guys throw out some suggestions. Let's do it one at a time. Go. Piercings. Rehab. Weddings. Masturbation. Miami. Super camp? Super camp.
Summer camp.
Summer camp. What do you guys want?
I want super camp.
I didn't say it goes to
summer. Miami, you like.
I mean, just because it wouldn't be fair because he knows me and that's where I'm from. That's where I'm from, you guys. I'm Cuban.
This
that's
guy,
where I'm from.
We got a ringer.
Yeah. I still want to hear it, to tell you the truth. I kind of want to hear it.
Yeah.
Miami.
Let's go.
Miami.
Miami.
Yeah. Give it your all.
All right. Three minutes.
First time anyone's cheered for that city.
That's very true. So I was born in Miami. I grew up in the little Havana section of Miami. I'm Cuban on my mother's side, but I didn't know my biological father. I had this other father with the last name Houston, which is the last name that I have. And it wasn't until I got older that I was like, somebody here's not my parent. Like, something's wrong, something's not, it's not making sense. So I, I said something to my grandmother, who's from Texas. My grandfather is Cuban. And I said, something's not right. I feel like I'm not related to somebody here. My grandmother said, well, I knew you were going to figure it out because you're just like your goddamn father. Well, your mother got knocked up at the prom. Your father's name is Robert Lopez. He was the drum major in the band, and he was in love with your mother. They were married briefly. It didn't work out. He left the country, but I heard he's back in Miami. Would you like to meet him? And I said, no, because I'm fat and I don't know how to swim. And I didn't think he would love me. Yeah, well, there you go. The low self-esteem runs deep and very long. So it wasn't until I got into college that I was in college, and then I still called Houston my dad, and he gave me a ring. I was a sophomore, and he said, hey, I fell in love. I was like, I didn't know you were dating anybody. And he said, I married a girl named Yvette. And I was like, what? And he goes, yes, she's from Puerto Rico. She's 15. Mm-hmm. And he was 52. And I was 19. So I had a 15-year-old stepmom, and I was like, I fucking lost my mind. I lost my shit. And I was like, that's it. I got to find my father. And all I knew was that his name was Robert Lopez, and he lived in Miami, Florida. Okay, there was a few boat lifts. There was the Peter Pan. There's a lot of fucking Cubans in Miami, you guys. A lot. So this was also the internet was in its infancy. And so all I knew to do was call 305-555-1212. And I said, I need the number for every R. Roberto and Robert Lopez listed in Miami-Dade County. And the operator said, well, I can't do that for you because I can only give you three numbers at a time. And I said, well, I'm calling back. And I called back, and I called back, and about the 70th call to directory assistance, the conversation between the operator and myself went something like this. Miami directory assistance, can I help you? Hey, LaTanya, it's me. I need three more. Girl, you crazy. Hold on. So I called, and I called, and I called, and I left messages, and I destroyed families because I left messages, and they weren't my dad. But then I'm sitting in my dorm room, and I'm exhausted, and I have this legal pad filled with R. Roberto and Robert Lopez, as I called everyone, and I'm just like, and my phone rang, and I answered, and I said, hello, and I heard, hello, and I said, hello, and he went, hello, I said, are you my dad, and he said, I thought you thought I was dead, and that was the beginning of the worst relationship I've ever had with a man.
Sharon Houston, woo! Wow.
Wow.
Oh, that is a great story. So much Miami.
That was amazing. I'm like blown away by that. And also just like as a, just I know you said like if, you know, the fat and you can't swim and he's not going to love you. But I will say like as the father of twin daughters, the chubby one at the bottom of my pool is my least favorite. So 100%. 100%. So
Danny.
No, but it's true. So no. Can't stand her. The skinny one does breaststrokes for days. Oh. Daddy's little girl.
Jimmy Pardo.
You know, it was great. It was great. Although the whole time I was thinking, if you had gone by Sharon Lopez, just think how big you'd be right now.
I know.
Shalo.
I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to do it because I didn't know him my whole life, and it just felt weird.
But you don't like this Houston guy. He's with the child.
I fucking hate him. I hate both of them. I just want to be Sharon. You know what I mean?
You can be that.
Or Cher. Take it. Never mind.
Mary Lynn.
Or, Char... What's that?
Sharon.
Charo?
Charo.
Charo.
Okay, sorry.
Coochie coochie.
Yeah, that was... story was amazing. I mean, why would we want to hear a story about piercings when we could hear your amazing... I mean, there were certain sections of that where I was like, I want to watch the movie of this.
Yeah.
The calling, the information. I mean, that's like the first act of a movie.
Well,
awesome.
Yeah, it was... Yeah.
Sharon,
or your
guys,
life. Or also
Sharon.
Your life.
You. All right, there she goes. And the final contestant coming up to tell a true 3-minute story. I'm so excited. Because this
too.
Could be anybody.
Yeah.
I mean, this is not, well, it could be two people. No.
This was, this was not my first pick.
Oh, but Danny, is that
Wait,
true?
What are you talking?
No, you decided was, together.
No, I was.
They told me to pick, and then just like a couple of dudes ended up deciding.
Well, this is the person coming to the stage right now. Give him a big round of applause. Brian Finkelstein.
Ow!
Tell him what to do, you guys.
Spin the wheel.
Here he is. This is for all the cookies.
You made it in spite of the public radio sweatshirt. It's a $120 sweatshirt.
Oh, I'm so happy. Brian has landed on audience. This has never happened before, Danny.
This is a lot of audience.
This is a lot of audience, and really, it's not even like statistically realistic.
Are you guys witches? Did
okay,
you put a
what
spell?
What story would you like to hear Brian Finkelstein tell in the back?
Witch.
Eye doctor.
Eye doctor.
Stuffed animals.
Humiliation.
I like the accent in that.
Exes.
Humiliation.
Exes.
Humiliation.
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 Humiliation. Brian Finkelstein. Work the magic.
I know. Sorry, Rich. You should be here.
I'd walk on. Walk on.
Humiliation. All right. So, when I was a kid, I wasn't very healthy. I was a fat kid, which is apparently okay to shame now. I couldn't run. I couldn't exercise. You had to do the president's official. You had to run a mile, right? Like in under 10 minutes or something like that. And I couldn't do it. So they put me in special gym class where we just sort of jumped roped and hung out and played checkers and read comic books. But I didn't like comic books. I was never athletic. And then a couple years ago, I had some heart problems where I have this thing called AFib, which is usually for old people. But I guess I'm an old person. And so I got it. And so my heart like skips beats and doesn't have rhythm, and so they had to do a couple operations, and I had first one failed, and then they did second one. And so in that time, I started running to sort of like stay in the shape, even though it has nothing to do with that, like the plumbing part of your heart. It's electricity, so running doesn't help. But I don't listen to doctors, so I started running, and I wanted to run a marathon, and I really always wanted to run the New York City Marathon. And then this year, it was on my 50th birthday was November 4th, which was like 3 weeks ago. Thank you. And so the marathon was on my birthday, so I got into the marathon, and so I started training. And the marathon went great, and that was great. But when I did 18 miles, that was the hardest thing to do, because I said if you can't get past 18, you can't do it. And so that was like the big day for me. And so when I was running, I can't run around the Silver Lake Reservoir anymore, because if you recognize me, it's because you've seen pictures of me up there, because I yell at people with dogs. and people with children, and just people in general. And I like animals. I love dogs and cats, but people with dogs and cats, not so much. And in L.A. specifically, with like two leashes and a cell phone and a double stroke, like that kind of. And so I'd be running, and I don't look good when I run because I'm this weight. And so I was running, and so there's like signs saying like, this guy's an asshole. If you see this guy, please ignore him, or you know, please don't go near him. He's angry. The word angry is used a lot in these flyers. And so I can't go there. So I run in Griffith Park, which is by my house. And so when I was doing the 18 miles, I ran, and it's a great path to run because there's no animals. And once I was running, and there was a fish. This has nothing to do with anything, but there was a fish in the middle of the path, which wasn't near any water, in the middle of the thing, or like stores or people, and it was like recently dead, and it was like a year ago, and it still blows my mind. Anyway, so I'm running in the thing, and I'm doing well, and there's no dogs or cats, and I get to the end, and there's like towards the end of the park, and there's like a mile left, and there's a fucking horse. A guy like on a horse, and it's not like it was like a marine on a horse. It wasn't like a person who should be on a horse. Like, it was about the same size of the horse, like a ripped dude. And so I start running, and I'm like, excuse me, and he won't let me around the horse, and the horse is like kicking up dirt, and I was like, I couldn't. So I did something really stupid, which is when I got close to the horse, I smacked the horse's ass and yelled, yeah, like that. And the horse kicked up and then started galloping, and then I was like passing the horse, and then I was racing the fucking horse to get out of the park, and I was screaming, and he was screaming, and I was like, my heart, I have heart problems, I have to do this, I have, like, screaming, crying, and it was the 18th mile, and I knew if I made it to the end of the park, he couldn't run the horse into traffic, and I beat the horse.
Yeah, Brian Finkelstein, amazing. And you did just run the New York Marathon. You look amazing. You're very fit.
Thanks.
You look very fit.
I'm wearing a sweatshirt.
Wow. Yeah, right? Danny?
Okay, so were there really flyers about you?
Or there are, in the Silver Lake Reservoir, yes. Down by the part where the like school, I don't know if it's a school, but it's like a playground by the dog park, there were pictures of me. My wife saw them and brought one home and said, what the fuck?
That's amazing.
I like how he just glossed over that part.
I know.
Too. Like, yeah, they were.
It's not my fault though. Like people with the two dogs, you gotta. It's a running path. There's a dog.
No. People. No. No, people in the wrong never ever think it's not their fault. So that's. I mean, congratulations. Did you finish the New York Marathon?
I did finish.
That's amazing.
What was your time?
It was very long. It was like 5.5 hours.
Oh my
I
God.
Had to stop and stretch in the last couple of miles. My legs cramped up.
You finished a marathon. Who cares?
That's a big deal.
Yeah.
Let him hear it. That's a big deal. All right. Now, tonight he's not being judged on his running, though. Mary Lynn, what did you think of the story?
This story was, I couldn't, where is it going? The people are mad at him. That's not the humiliating part to you. That was interesting. And then I realized... By the end, I was like, oh, you're Scrooge in this story, and the horse is your ghost of Christmas past.
Wow. I like it.
Jimmy?
Brian, I have run and completed, I've run three and completed two marathons, so woo! I relate to you on that. And your time is great, as far as I'm concerned. I also Thank cannot you. Stand human beings with animals out in public, so I loved everything about that story.
Thank you. Thank you.
I really did.
Stop bringing them to restaurants.
Yes, God please, damn it, yes.
Please.
And supermarkets, a Target, you yes. fucking assholes.
I don't care about your anxiety. I have anxiety about your dog. All right, I love you all.
Brian Finkelstein, let him hear it. Brian Finkelstein.
Brian, he's my spirit animal.
That was amazing.
Brian
wow.
Finkelstein is no. my spirit animal.
Two fantastic stories.
He's your
stories.
Comfort animal.
He's my comfort animal. He really...
Put a red vest on that guy and take him on planes.
Yeah, he could be your service friend.
He was, I don't know how we're not friends.
Okay, now you guys have the very difficult task That's of really choosing difficult. A winner, and you only have 1 minute, so put the minute on the clock.
Boy, this is rough,
good luck
man.
To you guys. And I want to remind you guys that we'll be back here on Saturday, December 22nd, and whoever wins tonight, hopefully they'll be back as well. One more time for Alex in the back. Thanks, Alex. Jim Coughlin, thank you. Jim Coughlin also takes photos for me. And if you've ever run a show, you guys know that photos are the biggest pain in the ass. So thank you, Jim Coughlin. Julie at the bar. Thanks, Julie. I appreciate it. Thank you. Story Smash, we have a new Instagram page. How about that? Do they call it a page? What do they call it? Account? A feed? Follow us on Instagram, at Story Smash. And I also built a new website, so there you go. At Story Smash Show. StorySmashShow.com. That's how they say it, right? Yeah, StorySmashShow.com. And so, again, we're going to be back on December 22nd. You have to add up points or what?
No, we know. We
you know. Okay, so do you have the... Okay.
No, you have them.
I have them. Here come. Here they come. It's going to be one of these people.
Put the right one in there, Jimmy.
You know, I don't even think we need that because I think Mary Lynn can just tell us who's going to win. Was it a difficult decision, you guys?
Truly a difficult
decision.
It was
a difficult decision.
Yeah.
A Sophie's choice, if you will, where no one dies.
Was it unanimous?
I think it was.
It was unanimous.
I think it was.
Oh, that's exciting.
But still very difficult.
But still difficult.
We hemmed, we hawed.
Yeah, we hemmed, we hawed.
We hedged, we hedged.
Yeah. Yeah.
We got out our hedger, we critiqued.
Now, will you be available for photos with Rich after the show?
Will we ever?
Yeah. Okay, so Rich is going to come up. Everybody can come up. Whoever wants to get a photo with Rich. Well, no, I think it's only fair.
No, absolutely.
Okay, so this is it, you guys. The winner of Story Smash tonight is Mary Lynn Ricegub. Who is it?
In the end, we chose the monumental personal origin story of Sharon Houston, everybody.
Sharon Houston! Yes! All right! I'm so excited! Here, you guys, big round of applause for everybody who played tonight. David Crabb, Brian Finkelstein, Rich Dickerson, Rachel Butera, and a big round of applause, you guys, to Danny Zucker, Mary Lynn Ricegub, Jimmy Pardo, and my co-producer, John Cohen. My name is Christine Blackburn. Good night!